Wow. It again is a Friday evening here. Welcome to all of you out there in Biconics WrestlePod fam land. We love you dearly for being here. And welcome to anyone new that has joined us tonight on the BC WrestlePod for The Bro, the Biconics Review of Honor. Whatever Lovecraftian algorithm dragged you here, please give it what it wants. Stay with us for later. We enjoy that you're here with us. Thank you for joining us tonight. We have the usual crew here to review Ring of Honor here on the Biconics Wrestling Podcast. We've got El Jefe, Mikey, over there getting us all set up and kind of running smoothly. We've got Jesse from the magic forest of his house also with us. We have Andrew from the party room, literally the party room. And we've got myself, JVL, from the dank basement of murder. So we are set to get together and review this week's go-home show for Supercard of Honor with Ring of Honor. But before we do, a little bit of housekeeping, as we always do here. Thank you for joining us on BC WrestlePod, our YouTube channel here. If you haven't already, click that subscribe button down below. Make sure that you're going to be there to get all of our content. And also hit the alert bell, because we review everything except for NGPW. We review everything. There is new content every day, shorts and long form. Always good to jump on that with. Follow us on social media at BC WrestlePod as well. We're on pretty much everything there. Join our Patreon. We're going to be adding new tiers soon, new stuff that we're going to be adding up for other Patreon users. And we're going to be able to give you some live watch alongs for all of WrestleMania weekend. So please check that out there. Also, you can do one better. You can come and see us in person. We're going to be in the armpit of America, that is New Jersey, for New Jersey WrestleCon. The East Coast contingent and Mikey are going to be together at our table, going to make sure we see our faves, as well as seeing you, who are also our faves, especially you, our only fan, Jeremy, I see you. And we enjoy that you will be able to interact with us in the physical space, because you're definitely not doing it here. So I think that's about it. I think that's all we need. Is there anything else, Mikey, I'm forgetting? No. Okay, so let's move into this. Let's put our hands in, folks. Observe the code of honor. I'm surprised Mikey doesn't kick it away like Kyle Fletcher. And we are jumping right in, because we start off very, very strong for a bit of it. Athena is on our TV screens. She's having a proving ground match. We know that's going to happen with a local talent, but she's an international wrestler in Nikita. And honestly, Nikita looked a little confused to start the match off with, like, why are you shaking my hand? But she kind of got into it for a bit until Athena ran roughshod. So, gentlemen, what were your thoughts on this match?
I thought Nikita got more offense than I was originally anticipating. Athena definitely over-rotated on the Bulldog and almost spiked herself. Oh. So that was a bit scary at the moment. I actually, for this, because I really want them to introduce a timer for the Prover Gun matches. So I put one on my phone as I was watching it. And as I'm saying that, I realized I could just check the scroll bar to see how long it was, but that's not fun. So it was 2 minutes and 56 seconds. So we weren't even close to the 10 minutes, but still it was kind of like, oh, let's see how long we can do this. I really, really think they should try and incorporate that. I see that Athena
should send some strongly worded emails.
Yes, very strongly worded. I see that Athena is back to now doing the post-match attack again. But Sheeta came out for the save this time instead of just it lingering there. So now I'm not sure who's playing heel, who's playing face, or is it a heel versus an anti-hero? I could see Sheeta playing the anti-hero very well. I'm curious to see where that goes, especially with Supercard of Honor coming up in a week.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, I don't know what these matches are supposed to prove exactly, because they're squash matches. They're squatches. I don't know if it was a mistake or if she meant to sell that Bulldog that much, but when Nikita hit it, I was like, all right, cool, that looked insane. And then everything from there on was just Athena beating the, you know, living daylights out of her. Love Athena's body slam or wheelbarrow slam, whatever she chooses to do, into the barricade. The match with Sheeta and Athena is going to be awesome, so I loved seeing that. I liked the little ending with Sheeta standing in the ring with the belt and Athena, you know, not wanting to go in and get it. Sheeta kind of reminds me of Zhai Ling from Shang-Chi, the sister, very much like that. Kind of that, like you were saying, anti-hero, kind of possibly villain that you want to root for, and coming in against a villain that they've built up to make you want to root against. So that proved more to me than the actual match. So,
Mikey?
So I'm going to be repeating this phrase throughout the evening. It was a squash mash. So I was expecting it is what it is what the phrase is going to be. I feel that I enjoyed this episode more than my constituents here, but that might change as we go through and have them challenge my opinions of certain things. But I mean, my biggest critique of this is that you have 2 weeks until, well, less than that for Supercard of Honor.
Yeah.
You should be finalizing what you're going to get on the card. And granted, we have 5 matches. However, you still have a majority of your champions not having anything lined up for this. So what are we doing? I was like,
they're waiting for Dynasty is what they're doing.
But Supercard of Honor comes first before Dynasty.
Not for the Undisputed Kingdom, but yeah.
Okay. So I'm probably going to get some hate for saying this, and I will defend NXT for my life in me, but you cannot put NXT and Ring of Honor on the same level. You need to give me more matches. This build to Supercard of Honor is exactly how I'm feeling with the build to Stand and Deliver, and Andrew knows my pain.
It's
because
true.
I'm excited for the matches, but the build up with the stories and everything has been trash. Outside of maybe Sheeta and Athena, and honestly, probably the best thing going on into Supercard of Honor has to be the women's television championship, because we've been telling that story for the last month and a half now.
And it's been more compelling than anything else they've had going on, even Athena at this point.
Yeah,
100%. But as far as the match goes,
yeah.
Love Athena. It was a squash. Love Hikaru Shida coming for the save. Her outfits now are fire. Like, I'm always going to say that. She looked on point tonight. But we're going to have a reoccurring theme this evening.
Of Andrew sipping tea.
Coffee cup.
Very nice. Well, you have to be on brand. I do love that. Like, yeah. So the one thing in this match that stands out to me was when Nikita did the diving elbow out of the ring and then landed as Athena sidestepped her with her head on the guardrail. Like, that's scary. And she don't think she recovered much from that the whole time. But to your point, for this is a quick squash match. Rick Abani comes on and goes, I don't see even a bead of sweat on Athena, because there was none. So, like, really calling it out. Lampshading, which is great. And then those Tree of Woe kicks, like, if she doesn't use those going forward, they're so disturbing. I love it when she uses them. But it set kind of the tone for what tonight was going to be, which I coined Squatchamania on the off part there, because that's basically what we're getting from most of this. As we jump into our first promo of the evening.
No, I'm not jumping anywhere. I'm not trotting through it. I'm being dragged along to this promo is what we're doing.
You didn't jump to conclusions with this, that maybe this is going to be terrible? Like,
that's not jumping to conclusions.
Well, what threw me off first off was Renee Paquette was there.
I was like, what happened to Lexi? Like, what'd y'all do to her?
And you're wasting.
She went to go find the boys, is what she did.
Probably, but they're wasting Renee on Lee Johnson, who couldn't stay on script and really didn't believe anything he was saying. Like, as we talked about here, I got to hit myself 3 times at the end to say I'm into it. I'm here to take the titles. I'm doing stuff. It was just. It felt uncomfortable. Even like Renee looked uncomfortable.
It felt like he was reading a script, like a generic script. Like, he was reading a script and it was a script that wasn't even written for him. They were like, okay, here, let's put the generic script format. Lee, go ahead and read this for us.
Can you
in read your this untailored like suit?
A baby face.
Yeah.
Untailored suit. You're right. So yeah, it didn't fit him at all.
I just had one moment. It was just one phrase. And I think it's a Will Ferrell one. I think it's from Anchorman is my guess. But after that whole promo, I just sat there. I was like, I don't believe you. That's it. Cause he didn't believe him.
No.
None of us believe him from what the main event was. He's going to take on either one of them and win. I don't think so.
I was more excited about the main event than the match we're going to get following it.
All right, we've hit 83 seconds on this. Time to move on.
I don't know. Mike, you still had a point of view on this.
Next topic.
We move on to another squatch in our Squatchamania as the Mama's Boys come out, sans a trophy. Like, Rick Abani was really harping on, like, Maria doesn't have her trophy, doesn't have Serpentico's mask. There's a wild John Cruz around somewhere. And they're taking on the put-together team of Kaz Jordan and Victor Casella. I got these names right. I wrote them down really legible so I'd get them right this week.
I thought it was Victor Casella.
It is.
That's what I said, Victor Casella.
I thought you said Casella. I thought you missed the team.
So did I.
I didn't pronounce it with the full T there. I'm sorry.
That's the Vermont accent, right?
Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you, JVL.
Notice why we're doing this. Because the match was just boring and nothing else happened.
It was like 45 seconds. I blinked. It was over.
Yeah, I mean, it was
this match, which was kind of funny, was they had their big move at the end. Cole Carter forgot who was the legal man. He went to pin and then, oh, and scurried out of the ring. Aside from that, it was like, oh, cool.
I will say, I don't mind seeing Garrison and Carter not being a flawless tag team because it fits their storyline of like young up and comers still trying to figure out how to be this tag team. But yeah, it was just a squash match to make them get them a victory. The best part of this was I thought Maria looked super badass in this coming out in that gear.
Oh yeah. When she stepped in front, she like flipped it open. It's like, mm-hmm. She's full Maria now. That was great. Mikey's like, yep, no, we're moving on.
I said my piece, 45 seconds. I blinked. It was over. Moving on.
Mikey, I thought of you in this sense, not because it's one of our favorite wrestlers in Dalton Castle being there. I couldn't recognize Nick Camarado for what they've shaved him completely and taken away his strength and his ability. They did. No, he was hairier before. Like his chest and everything was still hairier before.
Okay.
But the fit, like it just scared me to see him with
Andrew,
no beard.
You need to know who you're talking about. These are the things that I noticed. Okay.
I think what happened was they were going to do all of it, but they ran out of wax. Like the state ran out of wax.
The Clippers, all the Clippers broke backstage.
They got stuck.
They sent him out as he is.
I was so thrown off when Nick came out. I was like, what have you done?
Weirdly depressed Nick Camarado. Like, what is going on with this?
Well, and it was sad. He kept flipping back and forth.
Yeah. He was flipping back and forth. He'd go to do stuff. His arm pads wouldn't stay on his arms. Like, he couldn't keep them on the entire match. But he took on Dalton Castle, and Castle coming out with the Rent-A-Boys, who were like two beats off the beat. And like, it was so good. I love that.
Okay, but on top of that, too, Dalton's jumpsuit and everything was darker than it normally has been. So his hair was wet. I think upon looking for the boys, he found a hot topic, decided to just roll around in it and say, I'll take this. And then here we go. this was dark. This was the Bizarro World version of Dalton Castle.
All the protein.
Yes. Oh.
This was a quick squash match with a big banger. Like how he picked him up for the bangering, I'll never know.
Oof.
Oh,
nuts.
I will say seeing Camarado in that gear and that look, if they went into this direction, Camarado would fit right in with working with the Outrunners. That the three of them being three old school throwback wrestlers, like that's what Camarado looked like for me. The biggest thing I noticed in this match, and then it bugged me for the rest of the night, was I know that they're using the AEW set. But that entryway just does not work for me for Ring of Honor.
I
like it as an entryway, but for me, it just there's something about it that just doesn't strike me for Ring of Honor. But I guess that's just me.
Do you want to like turn it into an R and an H and like have an O in the middle for the Cody Vader?
No, they should all enter through the O. There's just something, I don't know, maybe it's because I feel like Ring of Honor needs to have a more, like, not old school, but it just, when I see
weird.
I didn't like
this match.
I know, and I love
what?
I love Dalton Castle. I did not like this match. I don't think Nick Camarado is the right choice for a squash match. I think him and Dalton could have had a really good match if they'd given them time. So I was really disappointed in it. We had some fun moments. The hip bump was a fun moment where they just smashed our junk against each other is essentially what they did. And then Caprice had the line of the night. Dalton Castle with the strongest hips on the roster. Like that, I wrote that down. I was like, cool, that's it. I'm not listening for anything else tonight. But aside from that, I didn't like it. Aside from those little fun bits, it was too short and ultimately disappointing for me. This was the match I was the most excited for on the card. And what's frustrating is there was no like resolution as to what we're doing with this story, because Jonathan Television. I don't know him, so I got to use his formal name. He came out and attacked him, but then we didn't get like, confirm Tony Khan backstage confirming this is the match for Supercard of Honor. Like, there's nothing. It's just like, are we going to keep going and go past the pay-per-view with it?
Well, they had to allow Taya to come out to get the pop for the hometown girl because she's in Canada.
Yeah, so, but that's fine. But you could have still had some kind of story in there as to what's going to happen next.
Well, on Supercard of
Honor.
We have a go-home show, but there is tech. Okay, let's break this down so everyone at home watching can understand.
The pre-show is the go-home show?
No, okay. So to have a sense of professionalism here, when we refer to the go-home show, yes, there's going to be an episode of Ring of Honor on Thursday. However, instead of recording our review for that go home show, we could talk about it because when we meet Friday, we're jumping straight into Supercard of Honor. So when we get together before 0 hour, or however, if there's a 0 hour, which there probably is going to be a 0 hour for Supercard of Honor, we can quickly discuss the go home angles as well as give our predictions, because it's going to be a jam packed Friday
and Saturday.
Okay.
And Sunday and Monday.
Look, I am going to be a busy boy. At least not all of you are doing everything, but that is okay. Yes.
I love it. I did also, so Jesse, there was another line from, I believe, Caprice in this that you may have missed because you were only listening to the hips. But when Taya came out, Caprice goes,
all in the hips.
They don't. No, literally, Taya's coming out and Caprice goes, Taya Valkyrie, you say her name 3 times and she has to appear.
I heard that line. I didn't think it was as clever as the most powerful hips on the roster.
Yes.
Joe Andre. We transfer on now because we're going to go to another video package, sitting at Mark Briscoe, kind of like getting more heat for that big main event coming up for Supercard of Honor, where he's taking on Eddie Kingston for the title. And, you know, they're really playing up that nostalgia and, like, you know, to the day when his brother won his first ROH title. This gave it more stakes than I was prepared to figure out. And overall, I loved that they had this to kind of get us hyped for it. Missed opportunity. Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was a well done video package. It got me more interested in the match. So it did its job for me.
I want Mark to win so bad.
Yeah.
Especially when I come to find out, thanks to the internet sleuth, that when we go to Supercard of Honor, it is the exact same day 11 years ago when his brother, may he rest in peace, won his first singles championship as the Ring of Honor champion. And if you use that and you don't capitalize it in Ring of Honor, I'm going to be very upset with you. And I will write a strongly worded email.
Another one.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, don't get me started, because I'm going to.
No one does that in wrestling. No one.
And you know what happens with WrestleMania? Whatever happens.
Just disappointment the entire weekend.
I mean.
Which is not what I felt, surprisingly, in the next match. I enjoyed Cutler and Cabana versus, and I'm going to read this correctly here.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. Yeah. Lucy Lawless. Bryce Donovan. I got Bryce Donovan and Rex. Oh, I didn't write his last name right.
Lawless.
Rex Lawless.
Come on, we gave that one to
Rex
you.
Rex Lawless.
All right.
My takeaway from this, first off, was, Ian, I love you. He's pulling out that cat weasel style that he's been taking him on with.
That was a good line.
This was silly. Cutler is cut, man. Like, give these guys a run against the Outrunners and like have a comedy thing here. But I did, the other thing I wrote down here was, Andrew, can you please do better than Caprice for a tag team name for Cutler and Cabana?
The whole we match he's trying to name them.
And all I'm thinking is, no, I didn't like the Cut and Boom connection.
That sounds like something you'd get in an ice cream shop.
It does.
Yeah. Sounds like a venereal disease. Mm-hmm.
Right. And they're experienced. They're both big veterans. They know how to work a match, play with the crowd. And, you know, they had, especially in Rex Lawless out there, a guy that is ginormous and will work with them on any level, like Colt not able to get him up. So then Cutler takes his jacket off to lift him over his shoulder. Oh, my God. And then the airplane spin, which is great. But yeah,
the assistant airplane spin.
He does. Well, because he played a D&D character when he first came in. Boys. Where?
The bear must be close, too. The misdirection spot was fun. Aside from that, the match didn't do it for me. I just this whole
Jesse. For me. Where is your soul, Jesse? Where is your soul?
What's that?
Exactly.
I think I sold that for a sandwich in 2003. Nice. Hey, but at least I can swim through the River Styx.
Damn.
Mikey, thoughts on the match?
Yes, I have thoughts, but first I have to recover because Jesse, what?
You gave him the flutters there, man.
I mean, it was a fun match. It was fine. But at this point,
What's wrong with fun?
I don't have fun. I'm not used to it. I don't have the experience of it. No, but just for like the whole program overall, it didn't do anything to build to our big pay-per-view in a friggin' week. So that kind of broke the rose colored glasses for me and the whole program.
So.
Huh.
Okay.
Gone.
No, not the magic. No, I understand where you're coming from, Jesse. I think in the grand scheme of Supercard of Honor, you're absolutely correct. It doesn't necessarily add anything. However, did I have to pause my computer multiple times because I was rolling on the floor crying of laughter of how ridiculous this whole match was? Absolutely. Did it add anything to Supercard of Honor? No, not really. Did I almost give this my match of the night just because of how much fun I was having? Abso-freaking-lutely. But here's the thing.
Cat weasel style.
No, but for me personally, as anybody on this platform knows, my big thing when it comes to wrestling is I'm going to grade you very harshly in the story that we're telling, you know, for feuds and matches and all that good stuff. However, I think what makes BC WrestlePod a little bit different to a certain extent is that all of us here, we like to enjoy wrestling because it's also fun for us. And that fun looks a little bit different for everyone, but I thought this was hilarious. I also had a pause because I was like, when did Bradley Cutler look like he can grate cheese on those abs? Like, what happened? I was like, yo, he was ridiculous. Colt Cabana is the perfect partner to kind of team him up with of the ridiculousness of everything. This was fantastic. And I also got to give it to our locals as well, our local talent as well, because they played into the ridiculousness that this match was. This was fantastic. This was almost I'm giving this my match of the night from pure entertainment standpoint because this was hilarious. This is fantastic. I loved it. But Jesse, I totally agree with you. This did not add anything to Supercard of Honor, but it made me forget how much of a squash match this whole entire episode was outside of maybe our main event, but that's still debatable right now.
Kinda. I will say this. we then transition off this to another match that did nothing for anything in this. But here's my one shining moment from it. And I think, Jesse, you will also appreciate this for it.
Is it the same as my shining moment?
It might be. It was quick. We featured a cohesive six-man team from the local area. All of them work together. They all have a background with each other, so that it made sense why they would be fighting together against another somewhat team. That I was very happy about, that you found finally. No, not at all. Ugh. That was my part of it.
So I do enjoy that. For me, my shining moment of this match was we didn't get a weird water bottle chugging spot. I was thrilled to not have that thrown in my face this week.
I agree with you on that one. I agree that they need somebody to fill that trios division out. They've got to keep them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this match. This was fun. I like the water bottle spot when it's done sparingly, not all the time. However,
it's like blood.
I mean, sure. Why not? But I will say, I agree with you, Andrew. I don't think we're seeing our six-man championships at Supercard of Honor, specifically because of who holds it, which, you know, if you wanted to get more eyes on Ring of Honor, why wouldn't you put Bullet Club Gold on there? The other thing I'm worried about, too, because I feel that this match also served its purpose, because we are in the grand scheme of the multiverse of AEW madness and Ring of Honor madness as well, because we're continuing to give Top Flight some wins. And lest we forget, on another program, they are currently in the middle of a tag team tournament to get a tag team title match at Dynasty in a couple of weeks. So I also feel that Ring of Honor is being used to pad out the win record for contenders and whatnot. Now, if you want to keep Top...
Don't you besmirch them. They had one of my moments of the night last night. When Orange Cassidy, I have wondered about this for years in tag team wrestling, why the partner doesn't just walk in the ring before the ring bell goes and decks the other guy just for no reason.
Orange punching Matt Taven before the match was fantastic for all points of storytelling. And that was the better of the match, because I threw things at my television, because how dare they not let Private Party do anything fun? Anyways, back to Ring of Honor. I thought this was a fun six-man. I'm disappointed because it's probably not going to lead to the six-man or our Ring of Honor tag team championships being defended at Supercard of Honor. But we'll see what happens with that.
Let's get off this. Let's move away from a squash. We actually have a real match up next. And not just a match. We have the Lovers Quarrel, which they've been calling out on TV. Like, I'll see you at home if you don't come find me for this. We have Kiera Hogan taking on Diamante, and you can tell these two have worked all over the country, the world, fighting each other, and just know each other way too well.
Can we mark it 29? Because either I'm hearing music or I'm having a fucking stroke.
And you better mark that down, JVL, as the one curse word.
No, I got it, yeah. I'm hearing music, too. Okay, so I'll re-say it again. So just give me a sec. Where is that coming from?
It's not me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's pause this real quick. Well, hang on.
They've worked each other over all over this entire world, everywhere else. I feel like they know each other very well.
Ayo. All right. I mean, I mean, you're not
overall,
wrong.
Overall, this was a hard-hitting, well-worked match that worked in a couple different styles that both of them are not known for. I was very surprised by it. Definitely.
I didn't like this match. No, I'm kidding. I actually really like this match. It started out a lot more technical than I expected it to be, but this was a really good, solid match. And in my opinion, the first one we had all night. So I was very excited for that.
It was the first match.
Because it was tonight. Actually a good back and forth. I was about to say, Jesse, I'm like, you need to leave. Well, I wouldn't recommend that because JVL's got to edit this. So, I mean,
so I'll definitely do that.
I mean, we could, or we could also continue this good, positive train going because I also really enjoyed the next match we got too.
Well, I also want to talk about the pop-up leg drop was really cool. I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
That was great. Commentary added to this whole thing. And I had one gripe with it, which was Kira, your hair is a problem. Once you get mid match, like it is everywhere. Put it up. Take out some of the extensions, do something, because you're just getting in your own way.
Put it in a braid. I love you, Kira, but I totally agree. Put that thing in a ponytail, put it in a braid, like, or get all the little braids like you had against your match against Athena, because that was bomb as well when she had that hair up in the rainbow pattern.
But for right... Yeah.
For I mean... Like you said, they know each other inside and out. So I was like, that's what she looks like on a nightly basis. Ayo.
Oh, Mikey.
Moving on.
We do move on to my match of the night.
Yeah.
This was my match of the night. Two super heavyweights going at it in Evil Uno's backyard. So he is the full-on baby face and just lapping it up. We had amazing stuff in this match. We're just showing off their athleticism on both ends. And... just I loved the chanting in there and like playing to it, like, you know, like a pretty Uno or other good stuff like that. It was just so good. Yeah, no. Sexy Uno. And I love they were bringing up the fact that if you want to support him to be able to get better, buy their merch, because that's how he's going to make his money back to pay for his medical bills.
They said that, and my first thought was, what, JD or Anthony Henry has any merch? Because all I see is him wear the AEW hoodie.
It's this invisible piece of cloth.
I liked the match. I thought it was very entertaining. Again, I'm not going to echo what I said earlier, but the match overall was fun. I don't know about the slap chop, because there were a lot of spots of that, but it didn't detract from the match overall for me. But then again, I don't see it as much as you do, Andrew, because I know it's like every match you watch that has it in there.
This was fantastic. I mean, there's nothing really I can say. All three of you have mentioned all of my praises and my critiques for this as well. I thoroughly enjoyed this match. I hope that we keep pushing this is my thing. I hope we keep pushing JD until, you know, Anthony Henry is cleared to come back into the ring so we can get the workhorseman again. But until then, I'm okay with JD going on a singles like run for a little bit.
Well,
Oh my God, yes. I mean, we got to do something with this Pure title because Wheeler Yuta is still not cleared to wrestle. Freaking Matt's. Seriously.
Beat him down. That'd be hysterical. And let Evil Uno do that hockey fight spot with everybody else where he takes his vest off, wraps him around, just starts beating on him. Like, that is one of my new favorite moves. I love that to death. We jump from that amazing, fun, another match, really good, to a very intense Shida promo. And you know what? She was really on the ball with this. She has been working really hard to get her points across. And this was spectacular for her. I was so happy.
This was a great promo. I was very happy with it. I've got nothing bad to say. But for once, I have nothing bad to say.
But is she the bad guy?
Oh.
Are you sure? I don't know.
Yes, she is. I'm still rooting for her.
No, that's Scott Hall. Sorry.
I hope so.
That would be great. Oh.
Can you imagine Billy wins the TV title as Athena loses the women's title? What those promos will be like with the family?
Oh, MIT would be so fantastic.
I feel bad for Lexi being stuck in the middle of that.
Oh my God.
We turned this into a slice of life, you guys.
But we move on from there. We go right from Shida to our main event. Yes, I know, we're right into this. I was excited about this match for the people involved with it. I was excited to see where it would go. We had Blake Christian taking on Kyle Fletcher, and they did not disappoint. These two put their bodies on the line for this entire thing, and Kyle Fletcher just was able to chuck Blake Christian around this ring in so many different ways. It like taking him from the Ospreay fight, where commentary said he really didn't have much to fight for in that one. He wasn't really defending anything, to this one where he's more invested because he's defending a title. And you could tell he was laser focused on Blake Christian. It was crazy. Yeah, we haven't seen that since Billy Starks took on Athena in a Proving Ground match, so. Yeah, see?
This was my match of the night, actually. Blake Christian is wildly underrated. It delivered on everything I wanted it to. I'm glad Kyle Fletcher is back after those issues are resolved. I'm glad he's defending. This was just a fantastic match from start to finish.
I really, really enjoyed it. I missed Kyle Fletcher in Ring of Honor so much. And to be the fact that outside of Athena, he's the only other champion that we have defending their title on a weekly basis. is ridiculous to me. And, you know, I wasn't too sure how I felt when Kyle Fletcher won initially back at Final Battle for the television championship. But I have to say, I'm really happy that he did, because he puts on really great matches with whoever he's in the ring with. And honestly, since we're talking about it, spoiler alert, we got two more matches added to Supercard of Honor from this episode. So we have mixed feelings about Kyle Fletcher versus Lee Johnson. What I'm hoping this is going to be is that this is getting this out the way so we can set up for what should have been a Supercard of Honor for me personally. Kyle Fletcher versus Ethan Page is the match that I'm waiting for to see. And, you know, we were building towards that, and then certain issues came up, so we had to stop that for a little bit. So here's hoping that Kyle retains, and post Supercard of Honor, we get Ethan and Kyle Fletcher at some point.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, I think I...
No,
it sounded more like he gave you heartburn than anything.
Well, especially,
well, here's the thing, it with wrestling, we're not in charge of the bookie. We don't make these decisions. So there is a slight possibility that might happen. However, given everything that we have seen so far in Ring of Honor, again, Crosswave is coming into my brain when, you know, if it makes sense, they're not going to let it happen. But as the shining beacon of hope that I am, I'm going to remain optimistic and wait until it happens on my television screen, and then we'll move on from there. Because speculating is going to hurt my brain and hurt my heart, which I am not going to do that to myself right now. So, I mean, that match is there.
I am chambering my comment for when it happens to go, the crowd goes mild. Because that's all that's going to happen. But, you know, I wanted to bring this up. I didn't realize this until today that Monday is actually International Empanada Day. So kind of fitting that we're going to be giving our empanada ratings for this review. So starting with Andrew going across the board, what was your empanada rating for ROH episode 57 on Honor Club? Mm-hmm.
Let them be the Rampage team.
You say across the board. I don't know who's next across the board.
You are the person. We do. Yes.
So for me, this barely got a 5.5 empanadas. I wrote down and like went through my scoring, went through everything that I'm looking for, and just what the hell even was this? What were we doing with this episode? There's no story development, no build. It did nothing to help any kind of intrigue for Supercard of Honor. And they need to understand time is not on your side here. That's it.
Yeah.
5.5.
Yeah.
And that's a generous 5.5.
Oof. Okay. So I want everyone to hear me out, right?
Oh no.
I
he gave it a 10.
I'm going to give this a 7.75 out of 10 for me.
Did you watch the same one I did?
I... So, I understand where all the faults came from this episode. I truly do. But I think it was because that I went into this Ring of Honor refreshed and not like half tired, because I watched it while I was fully awake and had enough sleep, since I'm on spring break now, thank goodness. I just enjoyed myself with a lot of this. I absolutely agree that we're kind of treading water towards Supercard of Honor, and we're scrambling to figure out what we want to do for the matches. I've already said my feelings on how I feel about our men's TV championship match, but I'm still excited for everything else we're getting. The build for Kingston and Mark Briscoe has been okay, but I'm still excited for that match. But I'm really excited because right now we have three women's matches going on Supercard of Honor, and all of them are going to be great. We have the finals for the women's TV championship tournament, which is going to be fantastic. And I will scream in support of whichever woman wins, because I'm rooting for both of them, because both of them have earned their spots up to this point. Athena versus Shida is going to slap. That's going to be fantastic. And as someone who loves Stardom really, really badly, it's nice to see that we're getting a six-woman showcase match, and they picked some really strong Stardom girls to be a part of this. You got Mina Shirakawa, Micah, and Mei Syra versus Saya Kamitani. And then you have Azumi and Tom Nakano. Outside of Julia, Tom Nakano is like the number two of Stardom. She's really, really good. And so what I'm hoping is, because the rumors are that AEW and Ring of Honor want to work with Stardom more, hopefully this will start something, because I would love to see more Joshi wrestling on Ring of Honor, which would be fantastic. But I give this week's episode a 7.75. I really enjoyed myself. The build for Supercard of Honor is like at best right now. But I was still I still enjoyed my time with Ring of Honor this weekend. I was just happy to watch wrestling again, which is something that I try to do every single time I review one of these shows. It's like, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, but wrestling brings me joy and it brings me peace. Though I also have a lot of issues, so I save those critiques when we get to certain shows, because you have a pay-per-view next week, a certain other company we review on Wednesdays and watch on Tuesdays. Get it together. Same thing with you, Ring of Honor. I love you, but get it together. But I'm still excited.
We're good, right? So I'm going with a 6.5. That is my rating for it. I did not need the never-ending saga of Lee Johnson at all. I'm just really done with that, but the end of it picked it up for me. So that's where we ended there. Gentlemen, thank you for giving your opinions on this and letting us go through Ring of Honor together. Put your hands back in here. Observe the code of honor. As per usual, we are very happy to have you along with us here. You Biconics Wrestle fam, we love you so much for joining us on this. And all you new viewers, we're sorry you had to watch. This is your first ROH. We promise they're better. Go back in the back catalog. They're a lot better there. But just let the algorithm breathe tonight and bring it to us. Because remember, because you're Biconic. We're all Biconic here at the Biconics Wrestling Podcast. And we'll see.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.